Every early learning and childcare centre goes through the same journey, from 0 to 100% occupancy and eventually a wait list, or at least that's the goal. We work with some of the best centres in Australia, from small boutique brands to big centres with big placements in the hundreds. In this podcast, we talk lead generation, enrolments, startups and turnarounds. If you're in early childhood education, this is a podcast you've been waiting for.
Digital AF, the digital marketing podcast that features real conversations from those who live and breathe the digital agency life. April 4 Digital Agency shares their tips, tricks, and exposes the truth about what works and what doesn't. Welcome to Digital AF. Let's get into it.
Welcome to this episode of Digital AF. Today we're talking digital marketing for early learning and childcare centres. I'm here with our COO and soon-to-be mum, April Forbes.
Hi, everyone.
April, without naming names, can you give me an idea of the type of centres we work with and some of the problems they face?
Yeah, of course. So we deal with two different type of curriculum centres, I suppose. So we work with an emergent curriculum, but we also work with more structured curriculum like Montessori is quite popular as well.
Yeah. And how big are some of those centres? Like, what about placement sizes?
So placements from 50 to 150 and even now some super centres which are closer to 300. Which is quite incredible.
Yeah, that's a massive centre.
Yeah.
Every client goes through the same journey. So from 0 to 100% occupancy and then obviously wanting to try and generate a wait list.
Yep.
And often there's like three definitive stages for what they go through.
Yep, that's very true. So you've got startup phase, which is they're building their own centre or they've purchased one that is already built and they're putting the business in there. So startup is kind of, you know, 0 to 50% occupancy.
Yep.
And gone are the days now where people can open a childcare centre and be full in the first month. So I believe.
They might think so. But
yeah. So I think a long time ago or years ago, that was often the case. And when we are called into childcare centres, people still refer back to that time. I'm yet to experience it in my marketing career. Clients who have been able to open and be full or at, you know, 50% occupancy, you know, by just opening the door now. So yes, whilst it might have happened 10 years ago, it's just not the case anymore.
And in a lot of those cases, they might have a heap of interest prior to opening. They might have a giant list of people saying they've registered their interest. But yep. We know that usually only 10, maybe 15% of those people actually convert to an enrollment.
Yeah, that's correct. So in that startup phase, you do generate a lot of inquiry because people are interested and you've got mums that are trying to plan 12 months out or 18 months out from when they're planning on going back to work or whatnot, even people moving to the area as well.
Well, everyone loves a new shiny centre too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you often get a lot of inquiry, which are essentially wait lists until you know when you can open the centre. How much of that converts depends on how long people are actually on that wait list, to be completely honest with you. So if you've built a wait list or like an inquiry list out and it's 6 months old, you know, I would suggest 90% of those people have actually gone and found another solution.
And moved on.
And they've moved on. And that's because of their own personal circumstances. You know, people are trying to go back to work or, you know, they've all of a sudden they've had a family member that used to be able to look after their kids one day a week and now can't because they're sick or something along those lines. So what they should be considering is that people, their personal circumstances change, especially when it comes to family and work and money. So, you know, those wait lists are great, but it depends how long that wait list has been growing for.
So what about the next sort of stage they're going to go through?
Yeah, so you have like an established childcare centre and could be like 50 to 80%.
Yeah.
That could be have going for like 10 years.
But it could also be going for like 2 years, right?
Correct, yeah. So it really just depends on how many enrolments they have. And then you have a mature stage, which is like 80 to 100% with a wait list.
And people often refer to like, they might say 110% or 100%, same thing, right?
Yeah, kind of. So they have wait lists for different, you know, like the goal is always 100%. It's very rare to see it at 100% purely because of the nature of childcare. You know, usually Fridays are a quieter day, things like that. But having a wait list, so, you know, as soon as someone moves on, they might move or something along those lines, they can fill that pretty much straight away. And then you'll have people that, or childcare centres that are at, you know, close to 100% occupancy that are doing casual days to get it up to 100% as well. So, and promoting those casual days too.
So we get called into some pretty common scenarios. Often it might be like a startup where they've just lodged a development application to build a new centre, or they're rebranding a centre they've either owned for a while or they've acquired or purchased.
Yes.
Or even a struggling centre.
Yep.
So if we talk about some of the fundamentals that these centres need to be mindful of, because they're applicable throughout the life cycle, whether we're a startup, a rebrand or a struggling centre, all these things still apply.
Yep.
So if we talk through those fundamentals, what are they first of all?
So right at the beginning, obviously brand and your brand identity is really important. It's not just important for positioning the business in the minds of, you know, mothers or fathers who are looking for a childcare solution for their children, but also inside of the recruitment aspect as well. So it plays hand in hand because you do obviously room capacities, et cetera. You do need to have solid recruitment and a solid team and always be thinking about that as well, especially when the market like it is at the moment is very competitive. Putting the effort into that brand identity is really important. And that's everything from, you know, the logo, but also like, you know, what type of imagery are we using? What type of colors are we using? And really thinking about why that is important and how that applies to the ethos of the business.
Actually, that's a really good point because often one thing that should be discussed from a start with an agency or your marketing manager, whoever's going to be looking after your marketing, is imagery, which is part of your brand because you've got an aesthetic and a style of imagery. And the style of imagery, often we have a conversation with centre directors or centre owners about, are we going to show kids' faces or not?
Yeah.
Because that is a conscious decision to be made and something you have to actually decide on up front because it should be rolled out across your entire business.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, you have privacy issues that centre directors and centre owners are thinking about. It becomes not complicated, but it becomes challenging in the rollout of, you know, imagery. So you've got to think about that a little bit, even down to things like, you know, what don't you want in your imagery, which is really important as well. Like what type of clothes are the kids wearing? You know, how do you actually reflect the brand that you are trying to build in the location that you're in?
Yeah, imagery is such an important part of brand for early learning and childcare.
100%. And there's stock imagery solutions, but, you know, nothing beats the real thing.
I think with stock imagery, and we would spend like an eye-watering amount on subscription websites for stock imagery. But because they've been used so much, even if you get 20 pages deep in your search for images, the chances are another childcare centre has probably used them.
100%, yeah.
So if there was one big, big, big bit of advice I would give people, it's just budget the few grand it costs to shoot your own unique imagery because you'll use it not just on your website, but your collateral, your social media, it will be the best value you get out of a marketing activity and it will set you apart from everyone else. And that's the critical part because if you just look like everyone else, you'll be treated and compared to everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to if it looks like marketing, it smells like marketing, it is marketing, you know, so how authentic do you want to be?
Yeah, fully.
If you've put a lot of effort and energy into the experience of the child and the parent and what the centre means and the flow, the space, the energy, the landscaping, all that type of stuff, you know, good imagery will capture that.
Well, it's the only way to capture that because stock imagery won't reflect it.
Correct. And you've invested all of this time and energy into creating a beautiful space. Why not take advantage of it with imagery? The challenge with that is you have privacy issues. So, you know, making the decision as to whether you hire in models, child models and whatnot. You've got issues around educators potentially moving on to other jobs, et cetera. So you've really got to think about how much you're going to invest in that asset of imagery because it is so, like, I cannot explain how important it is. How much you're going to invest, what longevity you want out of it, and what's your ongoing plans with it? You know, so are you ongoingly going to have photographs taken or is this just a one shoot wonder where you're going to try and use this image for 2 years across your brand?
Well, you might have a couple of different shoots, right? Like often we'll do a brand shoot or we'll have, you know, refer a photographer in to do a brand shoot where it's imagery for website, it's imagery for a couple of key social media posts, but ultimately a lot of it's to do with collateral and so forth. And then you might actually have ongoing shoots that you do. I mean, we've got clients who do them like weekly, you know, and other clients who do them monthly and other clients who do it quarterly, but ultimately it's having fresh imagery constantly.
We've even got clients that don't do them at all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to be fair, they do make it difficult for themselves by not investing in it.
Yeah.
It actually it makes life really, I think it actually impacts the quality of their marketing when they don't do photography.
Yeah.
And it's often a decision made out of an ideological idea or belief as opposed to a...
Well, often it gets put in the too hard basket because it is time investment as well. So,
but it's worth it.
Yeah, it is 100% worth it. So you've got to think about that. And then a website that explains who you are, what you are, et cetera. So, you know, once again, it's not just about enrolments. It's about future research that parents are doing, you know.
It's all about enrolments because all roads lead to enrolments. How you get there varies.
Yeah. So you're not necessarily going to get someone that lands on the website today that will book an enrolment or book a tour, but they might be moving to the area in 6 months' time or at the end of the year. So they are starting to do some research to kind of think about, well, where can my child go to childcare, et cetera.
They might be pregnant.
They might be pregnant like myself, where you are looking at how do I go back to work and when do I do that? So, you know, I know I was at a childcare centre the other day and I was actually leaning on the centre director to give me a little bit of advice there on, you know, what I should actually do, like what should I consider because I am a new mum. So, which was interesting to be on the other foot, not just doing the marketing, but I am, you know, asking questions relevant to my life now. So I think that's another thing to think about is the website needs to provide a bit of guidance for parents who are trying to problem solve, like how do you go back to work and what do you do and how many days should I do? Like what's safe?
I think it's actually been really interesting and it's highlighted, I think, the importance of what we put on early on in our piece when we started doing a lot of marketing for early learning and childcare, where we actually had mums on our team involved in the marketing process because only a mum or a father can speak from experience about what's really, really important. You can't just have a 21-year-old guy or girl making a decision. So for those who are running marketing for early learning and childcare centres, if you don't have kids yet yourself, then make sure you're seeking opinions and really getting to understand what they're going through when they're making decisions about putting someone into childcare.
Yeah, and I also think people are, they have different, at different ages when they are thinking of putting their child into childcare, they're considering different things. So looking at putting our child into childcare as a baby. I'm not so caught up on the curriculum. I'm more caught up on the safety aspect and the nurture and the care aspect. And that to me is actually more important right at this point in time. Like that's how I'm making a decision. It's not about the curriculum, but then a couple of years being two or three, it's a different conversation. So thinking about the different age brackets that people are looking to enter their children into childcare and what's important to them as part of that journey, I suppose. And you can use your website to demonstrate that as well. And a good website answers a lot of questions for potential parents.
If we talk about websites specifically and we talk about the fundamentals that a website needs to have in early learning and childcare, what are some of the features and where ultimately should they be? Because like over the years, we've developed a very systematic approach to it because we know it works.
Yep.
So without spilling the beans too much, what are some of the fundamental things that childcare centre owners and centre directors need to be mindful of?
Once again, I think it's thinking about the different ages that people enter into childcare and it's different for every parent. You know, some people are going into as, you know, pre-kindy and kindy. Some people are going in as three-month-old babies. So thinking about that and then what's important to the parent at that point and at that age. So showing things like the activities, the safety features, the food menus, what's included, you know, are nappies included? Is food included? What's the sleeping arrangements? How does that work?
What about fees?
Yeah, fees are important, obviously.
It's usually a sensitive subject.
Yes, it is a sensitive subject and it plays in depending on the bells and whistles, I suppose, as well. So it can be really important when the information you have on your website is more important as your pricing increases. So people need to understand what's included and why.
There's a features and benefits equation there that substantiates the fees you're going to charge.
Yeah. There's also the recruitment aspect as well. So, you know, showing the culture of the business is really important. And as well, parents like to see who's in the rooms, who they are, what is their education, what do they look like, you know, just so they can put a face to the name and like know who they should be talking to when they're going into the centre, et cetera, and their roles.
Yeah, no one wants faceless carers looking after their
Correct.
Children.
Yeah, and also the ability to literally book a tour or enrol quite easily and contact people easily. So, or is it a live chat? Is it, you know, the ability at 3 a.m. when you're up and you're feeding your child and, you know, you've had a conversation with your workplace about going back to work, how easy is it to close them when they are doing that research? So that's always been hugely important to me as a lead generator for childcare centres, making it just really, really simple for the parent.
We might loop back to that in a second. And social media, or actually, no, let's talk about collateral.
Yep.
Because I think it still forms part of the fundamentals.
Yep.
What are some of the typical pieces of collateral that a centre should have?
A handbook?
Like parent handbook.
Parent handbook, yep. There's nothing worse than going to a centre and being given about 50 sheets of paper.
Yeah, it's just going to get like lost.
Well, it's just, it looks like an afterthought.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's our activities on this sheet, which is in this different font that we've used on a Word document. Here's our menu, which is written by the chef on another font. You know, like it just doesn't feel cohesive. So thinking about that, and you can, we build out templates for people in Canva and all that type of stuff for our centres to use so they can actually manage that type of communication in-house that does change on a weekly or monthly or regular basis. Even things like the posters that they have when parents walk in for the first time.
You've got to have so much compliance documentation on your wall when someone walks in.
Yeah, but even like, you know, what activities are the kids doing today? Or what have they learnt this month? You know, so giving the educators the resources as well so it feels like it is on brand and that brand follows through.
So you're talking about parent handbook as a cornerstone piece for a centre, and they might be anywhere from like at the smallest, you know, 20-something pages up to the biggest could be like 60.
Yeah.
Depending on how much stuff's going on in that centre.
Oh, and what they want included in there. So like the parent handbook is essentially a place for parents to go. So, you know, they are your existing clients that want to know the tiny details that go into everything, and they can turn to that instead of having to make a phone call to ask a question. That's essentially what the parent handbook is.
But is that also given out when someone books a tour?
Yep. So they can get more of an understanding of the centre.
And that's a physical document?
Yep.
And I guess the reason why I just bring that up is because as much as it might be a big exercise to spend, you know, you could spend 10 or 15 grand designing one of these things, right? Like it's not cheap, no. But you only do it once and then you've only got small updates over time.
Yep.
But it's such a price signal and a value signal to a potential parent.
Yep.
Coming in where they get a beautifully designed, printed booklet they will keep.
Yeah.
That's full of rich information that answers all their questions.
Yep.
And then they go to the next center, because let's face it, no one ever shops one center. Like they always shop multiple centers. Yep. They go to the next place, they get a whole bunch of random printouts.
Yep. Yeah, it's a comparison tool as well. So, and it's also, you know, you might only get, say there are two parents in the equation. One might only have the time to go do the tour. So they come back and they are showing the other parent information about the centre or, you know, or their grandparents or something like that. So it is a tool that people can show and also keep for like, okay, so I saw that, I'll come back to that in a month once I've had the conversation with my employer about going back to work or something along those lines. So it is really important. And I just think having that cohesiveness through all collateral, whether it's posters on the wall, what you hand people when they walk through the door, what you hand existing clients that have been with you for 3 years, you know, all that type of stuff, it feels very thought out and process driven and not rushed. And when you are a parent who's thinking about a childcare centre, that's what you want.
Yeah, detail is everything.
Yeah, detail is everything, but, you know, you're kind of judging. It's like going to a restaurant where you can see that they've like scratched something out off the menu and they've whited it out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You're just like,
it says we don't care.
Yeah.
And if they can't care about a booklet, how are they going to care about your child?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So like all those little things are really important in childcare and early education. So it is one of the industries where everyone judges a book by its cover.
Very much so. So what about social media then? If we go from physical to digital,
yep,
collateral.
So social media is really important for early learning and childcare centres.
Well, it's non-negotiable now, really, isn't it? Because every single parent has grown up with social media.
Yep. So not only is it a lead gen tool, it's actually an education tool for existing clients. So yes, it is a sales tool for new business coming in, but it is education for existing clients that are in the system already.
Also a good communication tool as well, because you might be having events or issues or whatever it might be that you need to communicate with your audience to.
Yep.
And it's a platform that you can actually communicate a message very quickly. So it doesn't always have to be like sell, sell, sell. It can also be about communication to let people know what's going on.
Yeah. And I mean, COVID was the perfect example of that. You know, like all of a sudden, all of our communication had to change across social media because they had compliance issues for COVID that was changing all the time for childcare centres. So that applied to not only the people who are enrolled and parents that are enrolled there, but new people coming in and even suppliers coming into the buildings, you know. So social media was a great way to just reinforce that messaging. Obviously, with enrolled parents, there's apps that the centres are using to communicate to parents already, but you kind of want that messaging everywhere if it's really important because people are looking at it in all different locations. So, and you never know who's watching. And you never know who's thinking about potentially inquiring as well.
Yeah, right.
So with childcare or with any marketing really, you've got to do it and you have to do it well. You can't just do it for a month and then forget about it. It looks like an afterthought then. And you're like, well, if they've forgotten about that, what else have they forgotten about?
I think one of the things to consider here is the market that you're dealing with. So, you know, parents of, say, at the younger end of the scale, early 20s or even younger, late teens, whatever it might be, up to, you know, let's say mid to late 40s, which is usually the scale we're dealing with. And then sometimes it's grandparents as well. But let's take that mid to late 40s all the way down to like high teens. They've all grown up with social media, whether it be TikTok, Instagram, or Facebook. They're living on one of those three platforms, if not all of those three platforms. And to think that given how much time they spend on that and what they go to those platforms for, and you're not going to have a consistent, cohesive, well thought out marketing strategy on social, it's just a non-negotiable. Like, you have to be doing it as an early learning childcare center today, even if you're at 100% occupancy.
Yep.
Because at some point...
Well, you can't stop. You know what I mean? Like, that's at the end of the day, you stop, it looks bad. Something's changed here. What's changed? You know, like, I think because it's children and it's safety related, you know, anything that you do is judged. So you have to think about that at all times. And it's not just you judging it. It's potential clients judging it, or friends of your clients judging it, or parents of your clients judging it. And so you've really got to think about your messaging and your frequency and your quality, because once again, especially with childcare and early learning, everyone's judging a book by its cover.
And it's also going through a little bit of a change in the industry where there's a lot more younger centre owners. Mm. Traditionally, childcare was one of those businesses, and I remember like 15 years ago when, you know, I used to live my former life selling businesses, companies, a lot of the childcare centre owners weren't from an education background. Like, they weren't educators. They weren't from that space. They just bought the business because they liked the business and they'd spent a couple $1 million buying a business.
Yep.
And they were typically, you know, late 50s, because that was the only market who could afford it at the time. Whereas now there's a lot of centre owners who are actually quite young. There's a lot of female centre owners. We've got some incredibly inspiring female center owners with multiple centers who have done an amazing job building up big brands.
Yep.
And provide the most amazing care to the children. It's unbelievable. But it is very much changing as well. And so I think what's happening is you've got some of those older legacy centers that are now being sort of, you know, really struggling with occupancy as well, because they're not keeping up with modern marketing techniques, such as the basics of social media.
Yep. Well, they're also not keeping up with modern education and modern fit outs and inclusions, et cetera. So the marketing is really important, but the marketing is reliant on the experience that they are selling to the customer. And so if you're not including food now, which was really common, you know, to not include food, but if you're not now, everyone else is. So you've got to think about that.
Well, it's not even
and you've got a price for that.
It's not even just food. It's like gourmet Happy. Food.
Yeah.
What about advertising? Because ultimately that does sit on social media as well.
Yep. Advertising is really important once again. So obviously your social media content is organic and, you know, people are following you, et cetera. But because of interest categories, so you've got two types of advertising that work really, really well for childcare centres and early learning centres. You've got Google Ads, which is a no-brainer.
Yep. It's intent-based.
Intent-based. You know, you've got someone who is looking for a solution today, like right at that second. So you're just mad if you're not investing in it. The thing to think about though, it is highly competitive. So it is not a cheap medium, and we see a lot of wastage, and we see a lot of poorly targeted early learning and childcare centre advertising.
You really need to know what you're doing when it comes to Google Ads.
Yeah.
Early learning.
Yes, definitely. Because there's a lot of potential waste. Like we see a lot of wastage. And then you've got Facebook and Instagram advertising as well. Even LinkedIn now we're doing. You know, so because you've got the recruitment side, or they're trying to position themselves for suppliers, et cetera. So Facebook and Instagram is great because, one, we can target, because people put milestones on their Facebook. And so you can actually target people that have children under the age of 3, or like that might have toddlers. So it's great for that. And Instagram as well. And because people are using that platform quite regularly, kind of crazy not to be considering that as a lead gen source. I mean, it's not as highly, it's not as intent-based as Google Ads, but a good mix of the two.
Well, one's short-term, one's long-term. Like, yeah. you build a long-term sales cycle using social media advertising, whereas Google is a short-term sales cycle where someone needs, you know, a childcare center today.
Yep. Yeah, or they're looking today for a solution.
So. You'll get quicker conversions out of Google, but at the same time, they actually integrate with one another, because you've got to think about it. And this is, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about this in a second, but there is a strategy behind integrating your Google and your Facebook ads or your Instagram ads, so that you actually generate the highest possible level of conversions. And then Lastly, just want to quickly touch on like email marketing as a fundamental. What sort of email, like when I talk about email marketing, what are we specifically talking about here?
So you've obviously got two types of clients. You've got potential clients and then you've got enrolled parents. With email marketing, so you've got a lot of apps and software that communicate to your current database, which is your current clients, about your child or about major changes, etc. The email marketing could be things around, you know, it might be a newsletter once a month that goes out to potential parents as well as parents, and it might be talking about what's coming up next month, or, you know, some new team members that you're excited to introduce, or new activities that you're excited to introduce, new menus that you're excited to introduce, things about what's coming. Because essentially, you need to show that you are evolving and innovating and providing a considered experience for the children that are there and the parents that have enrolled there as well. The other side of it is follow up for people that have done tours and trying to close them out and helping aiding that enrollment process as well, because that can take the pressure off your enrollments team.
I want to talk just a little bit about lead generation, because obviously over the last few years we've created our own lead generation system for early learning and childcare centres. You happy to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, of course. Can't give specifics, but I can talk about generally the industry and what we know works.
Yeah. I don't want to give any trade secrets, but like tangibly, so people have a bit of an idea, what are some of the like key things they need to consider when it comes to lead generation?
Yeah. So we talked about social media content earlier. Yep. So that is really important in positioning the brand.
Yep.
And for when people are doing research on what their solution is. So make it really easy for people to get a feel of who you are, what you do, what you stand for.
And what's good social media content, just for clarity's sake?
Ideally, you want authentic content. And okay. When I say authentic, it's not an educator taking it with their iPhone that has smudges all over the camera lens. It's, you know, thought about with a photographer that, you know, attends the center, whether it's once a month, once a quarter, etc. You've got the issue of privacy and parents allowing children to be photographed for social media. So that's a different story, and that's a different thing to talk about. But content that shows what you actually get when you're there.
Yeah. It's like a behind the scenes excerpt of the child experience.
Yep.
And then what about advertising?
Yeah, so advertising is how you would generate the lead. And so things about, you know, so we talked about Google before, where someone is looking for a solution right then and there. Really, really important. Making it really easy for them to then close them out for a tour, which is the next thing, you know, booking a tour. So they go hand in hand.
Because all your advertising is driving traffic to the website, right?
100%. Yep. And Facebook, where you know people are interested in that topic. So you're putting it in front of them, you know, Facebook and Instagram, in a hope that they are still looking for a solution, essentially. Making it really easy so they can book a tour or request enrollment pack, request a call back or ask a question. So things like live chat, etc., are really important.
So some kind of lead capture mechanism. You've mentioned book a tour a couple of times. Like that's a big, big part of it. Obviously that falls under kind of like the self-service category, and you gave the analogy of the mom up in the middle of the night after having a feed or whatnot.
Yeah.
So that's a specific kind of plugin or software or something that people use, right?
Yeah. So there's lots of different scheduling software that you can use. And I even think some of the childcare center softwares have the ability to embed that onto the websites now, which we're doing for a couple of clients, which is really cool. So they start that, you know, the childcare software is amazing at what they're doing, and it continues to improve and really suit the client, not just in managing the child, but also potentially like enrollments and things like that. So either works quite well, just has to match in with your management and your calendars, et cetera, on your end.
Then when they leave the website, say they haven't booked a tour.
So we do remarketing. So, you know, you may do remarketing through Google Display. You know, we may do remarketing through YouTube. We may do remarketing through Instagram and Facebook. Just reminding them of the center, essentially, and, you know, what they get when they go there.
And I guess a bit of a caveat to say lead generation, the quality and the quantity of your leads and then therefore the conversion rate of those into enrollments is directly correlated to your brand awareness of the brand in the marketplace. So you can run all the intent-based marketing in the world, but if people don't know who you are, you're going to have a hard time trying to convert it. So whilst you might have a bunch of marketing running purely to try and get book tours, you still have to have a bucket load of brand awareness running. And that's across not just social media, you know, and Google. It can also be things like, you know, it can be traditional, it can be digital TV, which works phenomenally well because, again, you've got the same demographic targeting options. Yep. Or even better in some cases.
Yeah, and also you can turn that stuff on and off in around peak enrollment times too. So, you know, like towards the end of the year is peak enrollment inquiry time, purely because that's when people are planning to move. You know, a lot of people moved locations at the end of the year and then they're looking to get their children settled in school in January. So, you know, those inquiries from, say, September and those enrollment campaigns from September are really, really important. You also have a changeover of kindergarten, like kids leaving and moving into prep. So, you know, you've got a whole new room you've got to fill. And so some kids move up and you have spare spaces. So that key marketing period is really important.
Yeah. And so just so we can give people a bit of an idea on cost, because everyone's going to be like, well, how much does this thing cost me? I mean, I know from my experience when I'm quoting up different proposals and strategies for clients, they're ranging anywhere from like in the bottom end, you know, $3,500 to $5,000 a month for a really small center.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's call it circa up to 70K a year marketing budget, which is not a lot for a small center, like even if it's a 50 or 60 placement center.
I mean, the biggest mistake that we see, which is very challenging on the center's end, is we see a lot of marketing budgets that have been set based on previous centers that, you know, group might have owned and previous marketing budgets. So, you know, if they opened 5 years ago or they opened 10 years ago, they're like, oh, we spent like $300 on photos.
Or it's been set by a CFO who's doing a cash flow forecast who actually has no idea what's necessary to fill the center.
Correct. Or what things cost.
Yeah.
You know, so because they, you know, it's a new center, so they haven't actually costed things out correctly and what's required. So there is a lot that needs to be done in the marketing of childcare centers. It's not just turn one little component on and see how you go, because there are so many places that people can search you and look at you, you know, and it is actually, I keep going back to that, people do judge a book by its cover in this industry. It is so important, and it's often, the budgets are often underestimated.
Oh, it's so often. Yeah. And I mean, going back to the example of a small center spending like $3,000 to $5,000 a month, a big center that might say have north of 100 placements, because once you get over 100, it's a pretty big center, you know, you're spending $10,000 a month. You know, $15,000 a month. But it's interesting how often we'll get called into, because going back to what we spoke about initially, where you've got like that 0 to 50%, 50 to 80, 80 to 100. It's amazing how many centers hit like a growth roadblock where they get stuck on 50. And if they're stuck on 50, it's usually because they've probably got internal issues that aren't necessarily related all to their marketing, but marketing will be a part of it.
Or they've turned their marketing off.
Yeah, that happens. thinking that they've crushed it for the first 6 months and thinking that they'll just organically grow to 100%. Like, I can say with absolute confidence, no one organically grows to 100% occupancy. And anyone who thinks that way is purely that they haven't experienced it yet to find out, unfortunately, and they're about to, that you can't get there organically. It's done through spending money on marketing. Someone who's hit 80 and struggling to get over it, they probably just need a bit of help with fine-tuning their marketing strategy.
Yep.
And they're probably doing the fundamentals right, but just not quite good enough. And that's often when we'll get called, you know, I would say I can think of quite a number of scenarios where we've been called in to go, hey, we're stuck at 80. And let's face it, 80 to 100% is where you make all your profit in a childcare center.
I often find that as well. It becomes I don't own a childcare center, so I don't know 100% the ins and outs of the centers, you know, what they're facing on a day-to-day basis, which based on the compliance that they go through and what we've gone through, you know, the last couple of years, it's pretty hectic. Oh, right?
How they've kept it together is beyond me.
Yeah. So, you know, I often find that it's the center director's problem, and the center director's really busy,
True.
Like very, very busy. And so they just can't make the fast decisions that needs to be made, because they're trying to make decisions around safety and compliance.
Well, their focus has got to be care, whereas the business owner's focus needs to be the business, which is the marketing.
Yeah, correct. So I find when you have a business owner that's making marketing decisions, it works really, really well, and they are faster and we get to a result faster. Whereas if it's left to the center director, it's slower and they just can't quite make the decisions that need to be made. And I 100% know it's purely because of the other decisions that they've got to make that are more important.
Well, I think there's a clear line between center directors are there to look after children once they're there and to run the center, but it's the ownership's responsibility to fill the center, unless they've got a marketing manager or sales manager or something like that, or a sales director.
Even when they do have those people in place, it's still not enrollment focused, and capacity focused.
I think the business owner has always got to be involved in the initial setting of the strategy, because if they're not and they don't have buy into that, then they're going to wonder what's going on when they're struggling to get to 100%. And I guess the...
And there's some type of marketing that you can turn on very quickly, but then there's if they've got the right assets about like that we've that's been created already. So, you know, if you turn around and go, oh my gosh, we really need to push for leads today, you know, we can... spend Google search budget very quick, like not spend it very quickly, but we can turn that on and crank that up really quickly.
Mm.
If you turn around and go, oh, we've got to reposition everything. It's not reflective of who we are. We need to do photo shoots. We need a new website. We need social done. You know, that is a longer process because you've essentially got to do one after the other. It could be whilst we are very quick as a business, a new website for us takes 3 weeks for a multi-page website. Photo shoots can be done quite quickly depending on if you've got to get models in or if the center's complete. Social media can take 2 to 3 weeks to get up and running. Social media advertising can take about 2 weeks to get up and running. Google Ads search can be done quite quickly depending on whether you're onboarded with us already or not. But if you're a new client, it takes us about 2 weeks to get into the system and rolling. So, you know, there is some marketing that can be turned on very fast. But if you don't have the right assets, it takes a bit of time to get it turned on and moving and the momentum.
And also you can't rush or speed up brand awareness either.
No.
Like that takes time.
Yeah.
I mean, you can throw a lot of money at it, but ultimately it's going to take months and months and months and months. And it's interesting, right? Like if we think of all the different centers we've worked with over the years and some believe in marketing and some don't, some sort of enter the discussion around marketing is if they're entitled to generate enrollments. And I hate to say it, but like if someone doesn't know you, then you're not entitled to look after their child. You have to earn that right.
Mm.
Others really believe in marketing, and it's those who actually reach waitlist far, far, far quicker and for far, far less money invested than what those who fight marketing do.
Yeah.
And I think you need to, before you start even talking to agencies, you need to think about which side of the coin you sit on or which side of the table you sit on. Like, do you believe in marketing or do you fight marketing?
Yeah.
Because the reality is like you and I don't care what your position is, but we can only help people who believe in it.
100%.
And one thing that probably, and to be really fair to those who don't believe in marketing or tend to fight marketing, I think it's not been well enough explained to you that you could fight it for 12 or 24 or 36 months and it's going to be a hard, long grind to waitlist versus those who embrace it.
Oh, you just won't get there now. Like, honestly, you just won't get there.
Well, the competition's too fierce because there's too many centres out there employing agency like
us. Yeah, the one 100 metres up the road is doing it.
Yeah.
So you can either be not doing it and complaining and saving money on your marketing budget, but losing money because you can't get your enrolments up, and you also will lose parents because of that as well.
Mm.
Or you can invest.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing, whether it's a startup, because we can sit down with someone and forecast what their budget needs to be for marketing to get them to a certain percentage in enrollments or occupancy. But I think one of the things that just isn't discussed enough up front is to say, hey, guys, it's necessary. Let's just work out what it's going to cost to get to you where you want to be. But let's also consider the influences of the variables involved with that, your position, your pricing, your presentation, all those sorts of things, your competition.
How you're answering the phone.
Yeah.
You know, what's the experience when they're there doing a tour? What's the follow-up afterwards? How were the educators when you went into the room? You know, so we can do so much to get someone to the door, but once they're at the door, you have to close. And so marketing will get you so far, but that experience when they are at the center is just as important.
Well, it's probably...
More important, but it needs to match your marketing. You know what I mean? You can't have fancy, shiny marketing and then have a poor customer experience from someone, because one bad review in childcare and early learning is very detrimental. So you have to put the effort into that positive word of mouth, that positive experience of potential people coming through, potential enrollments coming through, the positive experience of your current clients that are there and your current parents that are there, and also how they leave the center as well. You know, that needs to be positive as well. So you've got to think about all of those things, and they really need to match each other. People that don't match it, we can generate the leads, but it might not turn into an enrollment. And we've seen that.
Yeah, and that's a discussion. I mean, it's one thing we often have when we're talking management meetings with clients is, you know, we can see the leads coming in. What we don't often see is how many enrollments they're getting unless we ask, and they're happy to share it. And it's important to share it because then we know, okay, well, where is the lead falling off? Like, where are we losing this sale?
Yeah.
The other thing that a lot of people don't think about when they either start or even if they rebrand, because we do have a lot of centres who will be acquired and then they'll rebrand the centre, which effectively then becomes a startup again, even though you might already have some parents there that you're some kids enrolled and obviously you're trying to roll those over into a new enrolment under the new brand. But it is kind of like a startup again. Or if you're at, 80%, you need fine tuning to get you to 100%. A lot of the time there's often business owners think that they're different, but when you shop it around and you really look at it, they're not. And so your marketing can be a way to differentiate yourself.
Yep.
It can also be the cheapest way because there's only so many yoga classes for kids and so many swimming lessons and so many gardens and so many wildlife things that a business can do before everyone copies it. And it's only a matter of time when they do. But what another center can't copy is your culture. And your culture is actually one of the most important things that you can be integrating into your marketing to then create a point of difference to generate new leads and generate conversions to enrollment. So we've talked a lot about obviously generating enrollments and you've touched on recruitment a couple of times. And that is an interesting area as well because obviously, childcare is a really fierce space for recruitment. It's getting harder and harder. And the more centres open up, it's not the highest paid industry in the world. So, the pool of talent is not exactly exponentially growing. So what can centre owners be doing to try and be a business of attraction?
So I think things like your social media is really important to become a business of attraction and to be thinking about that. So, if recruitment is one of the problems you're trying to solve, then it needs to be incorporated into your social media to show the culture of your team. And that can come down to just photos of team members interacting with each other or professional development days that you're putting on for your team members. So they know that so when someone's researching, they see the job on Seek or they see it on LinkedIn and they go, yeah, I'm thinking of applying. They will go and do their own research before they apply. So they will look at your social media. They will look at your website. And so what are they looking for and thinking about the things similar to parents? What are they looking for to make the leap to go somewhere else? What's included in things that as a person that works there, are you giving them lunches? You know what I mean? That should be included in your social media strategy. So what I often say to my team as well, not only to clients, but to my team is, the target market in marketing is not necessarily the obvious target market. So use your platforms to solve the problems that you are facing and think about the problem and what people are doing to research to find the solution. So as someone who's looking, to apply for the job, they're trying to get an understanding of your culture. They'll ask their friends or they'll ask other people in the industry, but they will go research themselves. They might drive past, they might look at your website and see all the team member faces, all the types of roles that you have inside the business to get an understanding of how established the business is. They might look at, what information you have on your website about working there. What perks do you offer or what standards do you offer people that work there? Is it really clear and really obvious and really easy to find out how they can apply for a job with you?
Yeah, like a page on the website for careers.
Like a page on the website, expressions of interest page, is it really easy to just see whether you've got any available positions, So you've got to really think about how you can market to potential recruits just as much as how you're marketing to potential parents and your existing parents as well. Social media is one of the best ways to do that. So you can run ads for recruitment. However, I think you can't really fight the normal places that people go to find jobs.
Seek and stuff like that.
And stuff. So you're better off kind of using your platforms to reinforce your message. Telling a story of the culture. So an example of that is with April Ford, recruitment is always at the top of our mind. So we always want to be recruiting not only new clients, but we want to be recruiting great people into the business. It's really, really important. So we use our Instagram stories to show the culture of April Ford and what we do on a daily basis and how the team works together, the variety of the client work that we do and the tiny perks that don't cost us much that we kind of try to install and bring into the business. So even things like, Brendan Bakes, we do that every week.
And what's this business?
Where you bake for everyone once a week. And that's shared on our social media. And, our clients see that, but potential recruits see that. and it's often mentioned inside of interviews. So yeah, people
every,
are –
every single one.
You'd be surprised who's watching what you're doing, and it might take them 12 months to consider applying for the job.
Actually, it's an interesting point. I guess our business is a classic example I'm happy to talk about. If you look at our agency, you would think that we have a lot of fun and eat a lot of cake.
Yep.
If you look at a lot of other agencies, it looks like they drink a lot of booze
yep.
and play a lot of ping pong.
Yeah.
And whilst we have a ping pong table and our team are welcome to use it,
yeah.
we have fun in the work we're doing, and then we don't go drown our sorrows after work.
Yeah.
And I know that's a bit of a sort of harsh comparison, but it's a similar thing with any business that you look at, including an early learning childcare centre, is does it look like a place that talks to you and that you relate to that you would want to work at? Because the reality is someone who wants to party and muck around all day and get blind after work is probably not going to come and work for us.
No.
And I guess in the case of a childcare centre, you want, if you're trying to recruit respectful, talented, passionate, empathetic, responsible people, then you need to put out those same messages in your marketing, whether it be social or on your website and so forth.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be the giant inclusions. It's just, it shows the little things that you think about.
It is all the small things. And it's the small things done over a long period of time.
Yeah. Consistently.
Yeah. And the consistency, like consistency is boring, but it's so important. It's the hardest thing to do in a business is to be disciplined and consistent.
Yeah, agreed. Childcare centres are putting effort into what they're doing with their team members because at the end of the day, they're only as good as their team, like we all are,
yep.
right? So they're all doing it. It's just a matter of showing that they're doing it and how to show it in the right way and to show potential recruits your point of difference.
So obviously we talked a bit about recruitment. The last thing I kind of want to talk about is when people go from one centre to multi-centres because that's becoming more and more and more common. And you've got the big giants of the world where they might be like a listed company that's got like 200 centres, et cetera. But there's a lot of groups out there who have 2, 3, 5, 10, 15. And there's a lot of who are growing. Some are doing it because obviously, you know, there might be private equity and they believe it's a great business. Others are doing it because they just love early learning
yep.
and education. Yep. And like that is what drives them. And they want to help as many children as possible.
Yep.
So irrespective of your motivations behind it, there's a couple of common things I often get asked mm-hmm. and I just wanted your thoughts on them.
Yep.
So classic one is dilution of social media channels where all of a sudden they end up with pages or profiles for each location.
Yep.
Should people have a page or profile for every location or should they have one brand page that lists out all their locations?
So it depends on their budget.
Okay.
And it depends on what they're willing to invest.
So what's the, well, I know what they're going to ask. What's the cheapest way to do it? What's the most cost-efficient way of doing it?
So the most cost-efficient is one brand,
yep.
one page,
okay.
one Instagram account.
Yep.
The trouble with that and the problem with that is you don't necessarily, like each center is in a different location, different demographic, different features and benefits, different activities, different playgrounds, you know, so it's hard to customize the social experience for that location.
So the reality is if you've got multiple centers, you just need to have a social media budget and page for each site. Like that's best practice.
Yes.
And then what about website? Like people probably are hoping that they don't have to have an individual website for each location.
No, they can definitely have one website as long as it's thought about of the different locations because once again, parents are only looking at, they are only interested on the one that they are live near,
yep.
right? They're not interested in what the one in Melbourne looks like. They want to know what the one in, you know, Budgerum looks like, right? Who's working there? What does the food look like? What are the activities, et cetera, right?
So if someone lands on the website for the brand,
yep.
there's a locations page, obviously.
Yep.
That then has, let's call it the Toorak Centre page.
Yep.
And that page in itself is almost...
It's like a landing page just for that one centre. So then...
It's like a mini website for that centre 100%. By itself, yeah.
And so what that allows us to do is send ads to that centre's page
yeah.
that we might be, you know, we're obviously only wanting to target people around that centre in Toorak. So when they see the ad that looks like the Toorak Centre and then they land on the Toorak one when they're on the website, it all links together and it all matches in their head and it's customised to the experience that they're expecting.
And then we talked about it earlier, mm-hmm. fees on a website. Should you put your fees? Should you not put your fees?
Well, if you would like to receive a lot of phone calls asking about your fees, don't put it on there.
Okay, yep.
If you want people to self-service, put it on there. Problem with not doing it is someone else is doing it, right? So you might potentially lose the lead because you've created a barrier of entry for someone. So I'm a big fan of just being really upfront.
So if your marketing's good enough, put your fees on your site.
Yep.
And then what about maintaining brand consistency across multiple sites? Like is it, they could be 50 placement, they could be 150 placement. Should you have the same brand?
It depends on, I'm a big fan of it. However, often when brands are acquiring another center, you know, they've got to make that decision as to whether they rebrand it and whatnot. So
what if it's a greenfield site though and they're developing it?
As long as it all links together, you know what I mean? So like does the ethos
so you can
and
have
the
a
philosophy.
Shared, you can have a shared brand, shared philosophy around education, but each center can be slightly different in terms of placement sizes and educators and, you know, there might be a common beliefs and standardized marketing and inclusions in terms of the experience, but ultimately some, you know, little nuances based on the site, the demographic, etc.
So like I think if you keep them separate brands, it is more costly.
Yeah.
If you bring the brands to, if it's under one brand, then there is cost savings, obviously, especially in like design assets and all that type of stuff as well. However, you've got to think about the experience. Does the brand in Toorak match the brand in Brisbane?
And that could be an extreme example. Like, it, you know, it, you had a centre in Toorak, you might then, the same brand might apply to a centre in
You might have Clayfield, some brands.
But it might not, you know, the brand identity you've built for a specific site in Toorak probably wouldn't fit within Logan on the south side of Brisbane where it's a totally different socioeconomic demographic. So obviously the brand's got to fit the market that you're going into.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've just got to think about it. So we've worked with clients that do both. Yep. You know, we've got clients that have multiple brands.
One brand, super high fees, moderate fees.
Yeah, and then the other side of it, yeah, we've worked with the same brand where they've got multiple centres that are just very different. And so it's a bit of a struggle to get your head around and to run the marketing under one brand. So you've just got to, as long as it fits the mould, then it can work. If it doesn't, then you've got to look at the next solution. Is it a sub-brand?
Okay.
You know, things like that you can think about as well.
Yeah. And is there anything else that centre directors, owners, developers should think about or that you want to say?
I think the biggest hurdle we face as an agency dealing with childcare centres and early learning centres is they just haven't thought about the budgeting correctly.
Yeah. Okay.
So what does
you don't know what you don't know.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I said it earlier where they're basing their costings, you know, on a centre that they did 10 years ago. Well, you're not going to do that in your build cost, are you?
Or it's their first centre, point blank.
Yeah. And they may have spoken to their accountant on what they should budget. So things to consider is what do things actually cost and what do you actually need? So speak to an agency as soon as possible. Like if you are thinking of opening a centre, get a costing for it, you know, for the budget to open the center and the marketing. It's not hard for us to put it together.
Do it at the same time you're pricing up your fit out.
Yeah.
Or your build. I mean, you have a quantity survey, price up your build, you should get a marketing agent to price up your marketing.
So you understand what things cost and how long you need to do them for.
Yeah, actually length of time is an interesting one because some people think you can do it for 3 months. People don't realize once you turn it on, you kind of, you compare it up and down, but ultimately you're going to have a certain level of commitment over the long term.
Well, I said that earlier. So you can, you know, you can switch the advertising costs on and off.
Yep.
Up and down, all that type of stuff. But you need to be consistent in other areas of your marketing because as soon as you turn it off, someone goes, what's going on there? Something's wrong there.
And at what stage, because we deal with a lot of developers who are either developing sites that they're selling as an approved site to a tenant who will then operate.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a mix of that. And we also have developers who own the business as well. So they're building their own sites. At what point should they speak to the agent, a marketing agency? Like, is it when they've lodged? Is it when they've got approval? Like, how early, late in the
piece? I just think it's once they're working out there, but like they actually need to start budgeting. So, you know, it depends on everyone's journey. But what I can tell you is that people do not understand what is required in childcare and early learning centre marketing. It isn't just one photo shoot that lasts you for 2 years anymore. It's not one website that you don't update every week. It's not one TV ad that you run for 2 months.
So let's assume for the purpose of the exercise, so there's some numbers around it, at a bare minimum, when someone starts a centre, or rebrands a centre because they're kind of the same thing, you're not going to get away with any change out of like between 30 and 50K.
Yeah.
Including brand, website, collateral design,
you know, social media content, advertising content,
photography,
ad budget.
However, you do get long-term value out of that. Mm-hmm. And then ongoingly, so like let's say 30 to 50 grand is a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And then ongoingly, at a minimum, you're talking 5 grand for a tiny center. But realistically, even still, that's skinny.
Yeah.
You need to be budgeting somewhere between probably more like 7.5 to 15K a month in marketing is probably
Depends on the size, depends how competitive it is where you are.
Yeah. And competition is obviously a huge thing.
Yeah.
And the price, the fees that you're going to charge obviously impact it as well. Because if you're going to price yourself 30 or 40 or 50 or 100% more than anyone else, which we've dealt with, and like there's nothing wrong with it, with charging a premium fee.
No. And if, you know, for that, with those type of clients, you understand, like if you listen to the reasons why.
Oh, it's totally worth it.
You'd sign on the dotted line.
If they take me, I'd go play there all day. Yeah. But ultimately, there is an investment that correlates the type of thing, the type of service you're selling. So you need to think about what is the service you're selling and how much you then need to budget in marketing to achieve the enrollments for to fill that service.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is as soon as you're thinking about it, speak to an agency.
Yeah, it's actually never too early. Yeah, preferably speak to us.
Because then you can get an idea and an understanding and so not only from us, and you can actually go talk to other center owners and go, what did you do? Because you go look at something that's like amazing, very well positioned, and talk to them and they'll tell you their experience. And then you talk to someone that, you know, doesn't do anything, their signs falling off the front of the center, their enrollments are going down, 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 and ask them what they're doing for their marketing. And you can actually run the comparisons. But the biggest thing is understanding what is involved, what it costs.
How long it's going to take.
And so you are educated, ironically.
April, that's been awesome. Thanks so much.
It's one of my favorite industries to work in because you just meet some amazing people in this industry and you can do some amazing work. And it's one of the places where we didn't mean to do work in early learning and childcare centers, but we've ended up doing it since we opened and have loved every second of it. And our entire team actually works across the centres that we work with. So we get really excited when we get new clients that are...
Well, childcare is one of those ultimate lead generation spaces.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like it's super, super fun. Marketing...
From a numbers perspective, it's fun. And from a marketing perspective, you can do some really amazing, beautiful things depending on if we can use the kids, if we can use the educators, you know.
And look, just on that, it's not the end of the world if you don't want the kids' faces to be in photos. There's other ways to do it.
Well, like I said, you can do things like you can hire in models. You know, that's really common. Every industry does that. So that's a really common thing that you can do. So there's ways around that and where we work with both, you know what I mean? So we work with every type of childcare centre and early learning parameters in marketing. So we've worked out how to do that.
April, thanks again.
It's all right.
Best of luck. It's been a mum. I can't wait to be a dad.
It'll be a fun adventure for us all.
We'll catch you on the next one.